many opportunities for theater, whether that be Purple Door or community theater. There's a number of different programs.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN. It's not just about sports, it's about fun, it's about activities, it's about the weather, it's about snow, it's about driving like a maniac down the highway at 60 miles an hour. It's all fun, it's all good. Welcome, Jimmy Lou, on a Saturday morning for you. It is the 8th day of February already, if you can believe that. Got some good stuff coming up. I got Michelle Sonega coming up, and I believe I'm going to have Dave Foley from the girls' basketball team, and Michelle is the Knowledge Bowl, and she is going to make us all so much smarter just for showing up this morning. Isn't that fantastic? I'm going to do a quick forecast, because you're probably wondering, there's a lot of rumors of, like, we're going to get 12 to 18 inches of snow and different things like that. That's not true. Just so you know, it's not happening. A couple inches, maybe, and it's going to be done by noon, believe it or not. Yeah, so the threat, if you will, of this long-term big blizzard, oh my goodness, we're all going to die, Armageddon is not today. But we do have a snowmageddon, a little bit, so mainly snow before noon. It's going to warm up to about 24 today. It's going to have some northwest winds, not too shabby. The winds are going to kind of stay at that 5 to 10. Again, lots of rumors about 15, 20, 30, 40 mile-an-hour winds. Sorry, not today. Tonight, cloudy skies, and it's going to cool off to around minus 2, though. Yeah, she's going to get crispy out there. Tomorrow, sunshine, a high of 20, and then for tomorrow night, mostly clear, cooling off right around that 1-degree temperature. And then for Monday morning, a 20% chance of some light snow early, increasing cloudiness, warming up to about 16. So, yes, it is snowing right now, and it's well, it actually looks kind of nice. But we're going to take a kick it over to Liz Campbell, who has been doing her research this morning. So she came in and took a look at the Raiders scoreboard, and she caught up with all the scores and highlights of the week. So let's find out what she has to say on this week's Raiders scoreboard. Liz.
Hello and good morning, Raider Nation, and welcome to this week's Raider Sports Scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. The boys' hockey team played against Rochester Century on the road on Saturday. This was an important conference match for the Raiders. The Panthers went up early with a goal in the first period. After that, the Raiders responded with two of their own, both from Oliver Benjamin, to make the score 2-1. Century struck back to tie it up, but Ben Geiger scored the go-ahead goal and gave the Raiders a 3-2 victory. They played another in-conference game against the rival Owatonna. The Raiders started this game hot by going up 4-1 in the first period. Northfield stayed ahead for the rest of the game to give them the 7-4 win. The two wins this week puts them in front of the Big Nine with a 12-0-1 record. The girls' hockey team played their first round of playoffs today. After their impressive season, they were seeded third in the section. They were matched up against Rochester Mayo at home. The Raiders started this one fast with two goals in the first coming from Mia Miller and Olive Cook. After the scoreless second period, the Raiders tallied one more score to make the final 3-0. Their next playoff matchup will be against the Lakeville South Cougars later today. Boys basketball had three games total this week, with the first one being against Stuartville on Saturday. This game was close throughout, but Stuartville pulled away with the 87-75 win. Their next matchup was against Mankato West. Northfield was down by a lot until late in the fourth quarter. They rallied hard but fell short 64-61. They played Rochester John Marshall here at home last night, losing 70-56 in favor of JM. The girls' basketball team had two games this week. The first contest was on Tuesday versus Mankato West. The Raiders easily took care of the Scarlets with a 73-41 win. They played against Rochester John Marshall last night, losing a really close game with the final score being 68-64. The girls' alpine ski team had a solid meet at their section meet. They placed third overall and had two skiers qualify for the state meet. The qualifiers were Clara Wilson taking sixth and Maddie Loritz taking eighth. On the boys' side, they placed fifth overall and also had two people qualify for state. Tommy Cahoon in 11th and Bodie Bulfer in 17th. Congrats to both teams for great seasons and good luck to those state qualifiers. The boys' swim and dive team continued their dominance with an 89-70 victory over the Owatonna Huskies last Saturday. They are still undefeated in their current season. The wrestling team swept the competition at the Northfield Tri event on Thursday. They wrestled New Prague and Lake Crystal. The scores of each matchup were 39-28 and 42-30, respectively. That is all for this week's Raider Scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. Keep tuning in for more sports on KYMN 95.1, The One.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center. Do you have HSA dollars that you're looking at wondering, hey, what can I use these on? Did you know you can use HSA, HRA, and other health savings accounts to pay for your LASIK procedure? In addition, if you have a Flex account, you can set aside money in your Flex account for next year to use towards LASIK.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
Real Radio, True Variety, 95.1, The One.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN. We wait till the end of the season before we get into some snowfall. And of course, we still have till March 21st, technically, before it turns to spring. So we shouldn't be too overly surprised to have a snowstorm in February, I don't believe. So welcome to winter, finally, again. it's kind of in the pattern the last couple of years, anyway. So I've got the Knowledge Bowl, I don't know, coach, advisor, professor, I'm not sure. So you are Michelle Sonica, and you're on the program. Mm-hmm. You're here, which is good. How was the drive in? Not a big deal.
It wasn't too bad. A little greasy.
Yeah, a little goofy, a little crazy, not too bad. A little different coming down Highway 35, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. That is really dicey coming down there. This is one of those snowstorms, so it's not like an overabundance. And it's just a little bit, so it just gets a little slippery out there. Makes it a little bit treacherous out there. But Knowledge Bowl.
Yes.
What is the Knowledge Bowl? Tell me, Michelle. I finally got you on last year after the fact. After you won. And this year, I was hoping to get you on before, but you had a trip.
Yes.
That allowed for you to take some students. Sure. Students, right?
Yeah. Yes, from St. Olaf.
So you're able to take some students over there. And I'm not sure if my microphone is hot or not, so I'm going to drop this one down
sure.
for you.
Got it.
Put that right up next to your lips there, Michelle,
yes.
And believe it is your childhood sweetheart, at least for a second. But so you were in England. So
yes.
Just to tell you, did it have anything to do with the Knowledge Bowl?
It really didn't. I was on a leave of absence from Northfield High School. They were nice enough to give me a leave to go with a J-term program from St. Olaf for theater in London. So we were there for a month.
Month?
Yes.
Wow. How much pea soup did you have?
Oh, quite a bit.
Oh, did you?
You can imagine.
But you're back.
Huh?
You're back. So
I'm
what were
back,
you doing?
Yes.
So, but you were gone.
I
so
was
somebody
gone.
Must have filled in for you.
Yes, I had a really great sub fill in at the high school, and now I'm back. Got back on Thursday, and I'm happy to be back with my students.
So we talk about the Knowledge Bowl, And the Knowledge Bowl is, you're obviously full of knowledge. It's,
right.
It's, is it a ceramic bowl?
No.
Is it a big dish?
It
what
is. It is. It is a competition. It's a contest, basically, and we compete against dozens of schools in southeastern Minnesota. And during the contests, we have teams of students, and Northfield has 9 teams in our Knowledge Bowl program that compete in written and oral rounds by answering questions related to all areas of learning, typical of secondary educational programs. We never know what the questions are going to be, so it's always a surprise. But the questions test student recall, problem solving, critical thinking skills, but also,
do they know how to tell time with a regular clock?
Yes, exactly.
Well, they do.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good. thank God, society is not for naught. So that's a good thing. So when you say the questions are kind of random,
yes, yeah, we never know.
Never know at any. How in God's name do you go into a competition studying when you have no idea what they're going to ask?
That's a really good question. So, The students do kind of try to anticipate, areas of study. And so we know we're going to get questions about, for example, Shakespeare. So students will study different Shakespearean plays in the anticipation that we may get questions about 4 or 5. We know we may get questions of specific math skills, and so we will try to study those specifically. But we never know if we're going to specifically. We never know, but we try to be as prepared as we can.
Do they ever literally? So basically, the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a coach? You're
yes,
an advisor.
Yeah.
What are you?
Coach.
But coach.
Yeah.
Okay. So do the coaches have an input as to far as what they may ask during the,
no,
during the thing?
No, the questions come from a clearinghouse that generates questions on a national scale. So I believe the program is in Colorado that generates the questions. We get them as we get them. So we never know ahead of time. And the same questions go out nationally to Knowledge Bowl programs across the country.
So if you were to go to Colorado next week and compete,
yes.
The format would be the same?
Yes.
Everything would be the same?
The only thing that's a little bit different is that they do allow for some regional questions. And so we have actually had questions about Northfield before in our Knowledge Bowl. Luckily, we got them.
I was going to say, hopefully we got them right.
Yes.
We got them right.
Yes.
There are 800 teams
yes.
from 290 Minnesota school districts
right.
participating
yeah.
in the Knowledge Bowl.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you hear about the basketball, football teams,
right.
the hockey teams, and
right.
everything. There's
right.
800 yep. teams in the state of Minnesota.
Exactly.
That is ridiculous.
It's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids. And you have 44.
We have 44 of them, and they are super competitive. We have a great time. We have been to state 7 consecutive years now. Last year, we were third at Knowledge Bowl State. So the fact that they even advance when there are that many teams and that many kids involved is really kind of a testament to how well they prepare, how competitive they are, their education at Northfield Public Schools, all of those good things. So
when they say there's something in the Cannon River, there
right.
probably is.
I mean, there's probably a lot of things.
There must be something good in the Cannon River.
Right.
But so you got 9. You have 44 students, and I think, what is it? You get 5 kids walk in. But
right.
So you've got teams. Do all 9
yes.
teams participate?
All 9 teams participate in our regular season. We are going to sub-regions where all 9 will compete again, but only the top 6 teams from the sub-regional competition where there are, I believe it's 24 teams. The top 6 from that competition will advance to regions. At regions, the top 2 from AA, which is where we compete, will go on to state, and the top 2 from A will go on to state as well. And then there is basically a wild card from either A or AA, the third place team with the highest score from either A or AA. So we will send 5 teams from southeastern Minnesota.
Okay, but you're sending 9 teams from Northfield.
Yes.
Have you ever advanced more than one team?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Last year we advanced, I think, five teams from subregions to regions and then to state.
So five of our teams.
Yeah.
Out of all the competitors, we took
six of the spot regions. And then at regions, we took the top two spots for state. And then a third team, I believe it was from Cass and Manorville, snuck in.
Yeah, snuck in. Doggone it, missed that one. So you've got a couple of different things. The written round, the oral round.
Yes.
Oral should be pretty basic. You and I having a conversation. I'm going to ask you a question.
Right.
You're going to – is it just a one answer question? One word answer, or is it? Do I have to explain something?
You don't have to explain anything. So the competition we walk into the competition and we complete our written round, and the written is a multiple choice test, 60 questions, and the score from that sets basically a baseline at that point, and then after that, we usually do between 4 and 6 oral rounds. It kind of depends on the time. And the score that the kids get in the oral rounds, where they are competing directly against two other teams, the score that they get in that oral round gets added to their written round. And the questions are usually, and it's whoever buzzes in first and whoever gets the question correct. So we could buzz in, get a question wrong, and another team gets to buzz in and try again.
But it's 45 questions.
Yep.
In the oral round. Yeah. So you could answer every one if you buzz in time.
We could.
So it's,
that's the goal.
And then right? Is it a point apiece? Is it a point,
at
the beginning and then it goes a 2 and 3 and 4?
It's a point apiece, yeah.
So there's 45 possible points.
Right.
And the key is to get as many of those points as possible.
That's right.
Was there any questions, whether it was on the written or the oral, that your students came back to you and shook their head and looked at you and said, "Coach, what was that?"
Oh, every day. Every time we have a competition, we always have one question that just, at least one that just baffles us or that we disagree with or something, but it's the name of the game. You have to just stay cool and move ahead and be good sports and keep rolling.
Is our season over?
Nope. So we have sub-regions, I think, in about, I want to say it's about a week and a half. I have to look
at our main season.
Our main season
is done,
is
or you
done.
Got another one?
Is done.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had three competitions, and we always compete down in Rochester.
Okay.
Our sub-regions happen in about a week and a half. And
is that
then,
down there too?
Yes.
Why?
And
why?
Then,
why in Rochester?
The organization that hosts the competition is down there.
Okay.
So, and it's kind of centralized as far as southeastern Minnesota, because we have schools, you know, Austin and Albert Lee come, Winona comes, go there, Cass and Manorville, Canyon Wanamingo, I mean, from all over St. Charles. So that's kind of like the centralized location.
So you have 9 teams.
Yes.
There's 24, right, in this sub-region?
In our sub-region.
Yeah. So
actually, there are 48, but it takes place over 2 days.
Okay.
And the top six that move on from each of the sub-region days, go on to compete at regions. So we won't see half of those teams until we get to regions.
Gotcha.
So
who else brings 9 teams, or is there?
You know, I believe there is one team that's bringing 10 to sub-regions. I can't remember who it is.
Are they out of Rochester, maybe? Or?
They aren't. Rochester just has one team this year.
Whoa.
Which is surprising. Yeah.
It is. I think, and I don't know what's going on down in Rochester, but all of their programs, their hockey programs, girls' programs, boys' programs, all of them are diminishing. I'm not exactly sure what's going on.
Well, they've had a rough year budget-wise, I think, or did a couple year or two ago. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you get budgeted? How do you get financed?
We are financed through the activities department, just like the hockey team and just like the football team and speech team. Yep. So activities and
you don't have uniforms.
No, they.
You're not wearing the little beanies with the helicopters or something.
Not. Oh, that's a good idea. I like that.
Hey, right? That would be kind of cool, wouldn't you?
We do have team
Come
sweatshirts.
In there as Peabody, you know, it'd be good. Kind of fun. You have t-shirts?
We have sweatshirts that we wear. Yeah, we try to go in and have our uniforms.
Are you Raiders or are you Knowledgeablers?
Raiders. Raiders through and through.
So, you know, like the Gators Raiders are, you know, they swim and different stuff like that. But are you?
We are the KB Raiders.
You're not the Northfield Thinkers or something like that.
Well, hopefully a little bit.
A little bit. So, So when was the last competition?
Last competition was about a week ago.
Okay.
A week and a few days. Yeah.
So the next one is the subs. There's nothing in between.
No.
No practice in between?
We are practicing now.
So what do you practice?
We are just practicing a new format that comes up in sub-regions. It sounds silly, but how to be a quick buzzer, like how to anticipate what a question is going to be asking us, because you can buzz in before the reader is finished. And that's the goal, is to try to kind of anticipate what the question is going to ask. So we do a lot of that. We are studying, we have book clubs, where the kids are responsible for reading or studying a particular piece of literature. So we're going to be organizing another book club for plays specifically coming up. So just doing what we do and just continuing to learn how to work as a team, what happens when you're under some pressure and how to deal with that, because now the pressure starts to kind of amp up for them a little bit. So
you get the kids. So yeah. They've got the regular studies,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
They've got some regular studies. They're doing their thing. Maybe mm-hmm. some of them are in additional sports.
Yes.
Possibly.
Some, yeah.
You just open up Google and start reading? How are you practicing? What are you looking for? What are you doing?
So we try to look at past questions, because we do have access to years past. And we try to look for patterns or things that seem to come up a lot and things like that. So, for example, we know that we are going to be asked geography questions. We know that rivers are a popular geography question. And so each team may take a particular continent and study, you know, the major rivers in each continent or something like that. Or we know Hamlet is going to pop up. We just know because we see it happening in our past competitions. So the kids, they may not read Hamlet, but they're going to just find out more about it. They're going to read summaries. They're going to find out the characters in that play.
So you might say there might be a slight pattern here.
Maybe,
where they do kind of, I mean, year in and year out, they kind of focus on areas.
Right. And then we also encourage them to just be really up on current events and things like that, because we know that whatever happened last year, current event-wise, it's going to show up in our packets. So we try to get them to just pay attention to global news stories and things like that as well.
I was going to say, with current events, how far back do they go? Or are they literally...
They actually go back pretty far.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was going to say, because... Everything changes day in and day out. Everything changes.
Yep.
So, you know, do you study 2 months back? Do you study 2 years back? How far do you?
They have. So, you know, they all have phones, of course. But so they just have news stories popping up on a daily basis. But if they're going to be a knowledge bowl like next year or something like that, hopefully those things will stay buried somewhere in the database that they can pull up if we have a question about something.
So my question would be, okay, I'm on the Knowledge Bowl. I'm a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. I'm on the Knowledge Bowl. Where does that take me? Anywhere? Do I go to college and I get on the college mm-hmm. Knowledge Bowl? Or what do I do with that?
So there are college Knowledge Bowl or Quiz Bowl teams. Carleton has one that I know about. Some of our kids have gone and played on the Carleton Knowledge Bowl team, and they've also been on Knowledge Bowl or Quiz Bowl teams at other colleges as well. So they keep it rolling if they can.
They're probably not old enough to do trivia over at the Cal.
Oh, when they've let kids go over there, our kids try to get in and do that. So yeah.
How do they do?
Not bad, honestly.
Not bad. Very good. So what is the date for that sub region?
Oh gosh, I knew you were going to ask me that. I want to say it's the 25th.
It's not the 6th of February. We know that. That was the day you came into town.
It's the 24th or 25th of February.
So it's a Monday or Tuesday.
A Monday or Tuesday.
Well, that's an ugly day to put a subsection.
Right?
Come on.
We're going to be so ready, though.
Yeah. So who's your competition?
Our competition is usually Rochester is usually pretty tough. Byron is going to be tough this year. Winona usually has a good team or two that make us sweat a little bit. PEM, Plainview, Elgin, Millville has a great team this year.
Okay.
Cass and Manorville all has a great program as well.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this?
I have been doing this for 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously still liking it.
Love it.
Still doing it. Going to continue to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Or are you announcing your retirement today? Is that what we're doing?
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay. No no heartbreaking news today, people. Sorry.
None.
Nope. Too
nope.
bad. So sad.
Nope.
So can I come and watch it?
You can, actually. People don't know that, but they can come and watch Knowledge Bowl anytime.
So it's after school.
So it's all day during. It's actually during the day.
Oh, wow.
And it takes place at the Southeast Learning Cooperative in Rochester, Minnesota. And it's open to the public, so they can come and watch at any time. Our sub-region starts at 9 a.m. and will go until about 1:30 p.m. or so.
So if you want to just go and have your ego shooken up and, you know, just, you know, feel like a complete dork, then just go there. Go there.
You come
listen,
on down.
Listen to these 17 and 18-year-old kids just baffle your brains out.
Even our 14 and our 15-year-olds baffle
Oh,
me.
I'm sure. Yeah. And they talk about seventh and eighth
amazing.
Grades. And yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yep.
So, I mean, even a seventh grader, I mean, when you're a seventh grader.
Yeah.
What do you think about when you're in seventh grade?
Right.
I mean, you're usually just meh. I mean, life is just life, you know? I mean, you're not thinking about, you know.
Yeah. And our middle school team does really well, too. So they're a great feeder program for us at the high school.
So how many of the 44 students are seniors this year?
I think we had 17 graduate last year.
Okay.
And I think we have another pretty big group this year. It's always a heartbreaker. To lose that many kids, but because we have a feeder program at the middle school, we always have a great group coming in. We have a super strong group of freshmen this year that are going to just continue to keep the legacy of the program going, I think. So
when do you normally start this program? It's a winter program.
It is. We usually start at the beginning of November.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about we try to get you on the air before all the tournaments are done.
100%.
This is 2 years in a row. At least I got you. I mean, I got you last year and I got you this year.
Yes.
But, I mean, I'm still trying to get the speech team, Jody Saxon. I'm trying to get the mock trial guys. I'm on Steve in here.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, I get Noah Bachman with the Olympic weightlifting group. That's a little different.
Yeah.
So these are all activities that are sponsored by the high school. And then you find out that you got 44 kids, you got 9 teams, you guys are competitive, you're state 7 years in a row.
Yeah.
And people are like going, what?
Yeah,
we got a knowledge team, you know, and maybe even the kids out there, because it is competition.
It is.
So it
gives
a little bit of, you know.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we try to encourage them to, you know, I think teaching them how to do a competition is super important, like how to be gracious winners, how to be competitive, how to lose gracefully.
Right.
And it's the same as any sports program.
Right.
Those are similar lessons. And I want them to push themselves, and I want them to understand that even though we're a small AA school, they can be competitive and they can really shake things up at state.
How many classes are there? There's A, double A's, or
there
triple
is,
quad? Or
so what? In southeastern Minnesota, there is double A and A. Once they get to state, we move to triple A. So we are the smallest school in triple A, which sounds intimidating. That pits us against schools like Edina, Chaska, Eden Prairie, Minnetonka.
Sure.
But last year we were third at state. So, and we only lost to Edina and I believe it was Sartell.
Yeah.
So,
well, Gail Sayers wrote a book, said, I am third. It was an outstanding top seller. So there you go. Just being third doesn't mean anything.
No,
Michelle,
we were happy to get to the podium.
I would love to sit here and talk a little bit more with you. This is why I would like to get you in more often than at the end of the year. So next year when I send that email out,
I will be there.
I'll try to get if you can't be there, send somebody.
I
don't care. We want to talk about
for
it and talk about the kids and see what they're doing and see how they're feeling about it. Maybe, you know, last year I know we did get one or two of the youngsters in here and it was fun talking to them because, I mean, they're just talking circles around me and I'm just
they do that to me too.
You're the coach. You just keep in line. Keep in line.
I just try to. Keep charge of the time.
So well, I appreciate you taking the time today.
Thanks very much for inviting
me. After 2 days of maybe rest and not rest or whatever that was.
Yeah.
But, well, you look glowing, if that helps.
Thanks.
Okay. You look great, Michelle.
Thanks.
All right. Michelle Sonica is the head coach advisor.
Yep.
thingy of the knowledge bowl. Well, anyhow, yeah. We're going to root them on 24th, 25th in Rochester all day long. If you happen to be down in that area, go to the Southeast Learning Cooperative.
And if anybody is interested in coming down, they can contact me at the high school. I'll give them all of the information.
Awesome. Michelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to have Dave Foley, the head coach of the boys. Girls basketball team, who are terrorizing the Big Nine here this afternoon and throughout the season. So a lot of fun there, a lot of excitement for the girls team. We'll take a break. We'll be back. You're listening to the Raider Wrap on AM 1080 and 95.1 The One KYMN.
When your car is under extended warranty, there's no need to go back to the dealership. The team at Witt Brothers has dealt with every kind of extended warranty company. With a quick call, they'll know exactly what it'll take to get your repairs covered. Warranties are there to reduce stress and risk. So let Witt Brothers make actually using that warranty as easy as possible. For all your automotive maintenance and repair needs, drive to Witt Brothers Service, located at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield.
The man, the yellow man, called Service Master.
Burst pipe or water damage? No problem. Call the experts at ServiceMaster by Iyett. Hi, this is Beth Iyett. Our staff is trained and certified to assist you with any water damage after a burst pipe or leaky water. Locally owned since 1995, ServiceMaster by Iyett will be there in your time of need.
The man, the yellow man.
Tanya here from Just Food Co-op. Just Food Co-op has been your local grocer in downtown Northfield for almost 19 years. We are your go-to store for the best produce in town, quick and delicious deli lunch options, and local meats, eggs, and dairy products. Not to mention our beautifully stocked body care and supplements department. Stop in and visit Just Food Co-op. Everyone can shop, anyone can join. Open 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day on Water Street in downtown Northfield. Find us online at justfood.coop.
Are you ready to move on from winter to enjoy the spring? Ready to reckon with the rain? Did you know you could get reimbursed for installing a rain garden on your property? You can learn how by attending the Rain Garden Workshop on March 6th from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock at Northfield High School. This free event requires registration and is a collaboration between Clean River Partners, the City of Northfield, and the Dakota County Soil and Water Conservation District. They'll teach you what to plant, where to plant it, and why rain gardens benefit the watershed. Register for this illuminating workshop at northfieldschools.org/community education. That's northfieldschools.org/community education.
The economic pulse of Northfield is beating, and your business is part of it. Make sure you stay connected to that pulse with the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. They can help you form relationships and partnerships that can take your business to the next level. Networking events are great opportunities to get your business in front of new people and to make strong connections with other Northfield area business owners. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce knows how important your business is to our community. Stay connected to the economic pulse of Northfield. Go to northfieldchamber.com, join, and take your business to the next level.
Miss an episode of your favorite KYMN program? Find archives of all our programs at kymnradio.net or search for KYMN on your favorite podcast app, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. It is the Raider Wrap here on a Saturday morning, the 8th day of February already, if you can believe it. It's just unbelievable how fast we're moving along. And then all of a sudden, here we thought we were tripping right along, heading right into spring, and all the temperatures are going to change, and wham, here come winter. Well, the old man has taught us a bit of a lesson today anyhow, but it's not going to be bad. It's not going to be as horrible as people are thinking it's going to be, really. It should shut down about noon, so about another hour and a half of some light snow, so it's kind of pretty. It's kind of fluffy and pretty out there. Isn't that right, Dave?
That's one way to describe it. Yeah, that groundhog, unfortunately, went back down a little sooner than we wanted. So,
right.
But we'll take it.
So you never know, but it's not too bad. I mean, it is wintertime, and you know, we got our temperatures going to average here in the 20s and whatnot. So today you're going to see a high of maybe 24, cooling off tonight to minus 2. And then tomorrow, sunshine again and 20, cooling off to about 1 degree on Sunday night. And then for Monday, a slight chance of some snow warming up to only 16 degrees. And then our extended forecast for Tuesday looks like sunny, but it's going to be cold. The high is only going to be 3 above. Tuesday night's going to be minus 10. Wednesday, maybe we might make it to 12 above. Then for Thursday, we might make it to about double digits. And then for Friday, maybe we'll get back up into the 20s there. So it is going to be on the chilly side over the next few days. So we're at 20 currently. It's overcast. It's snowing. It's pretty. It's beautiful. It's all nice. Speaking of pretty and beautiful, how about that girls' basketball team? Man, these guys are just, I mean, it was unfortunate last night, but my goodness, you're 13-5 in the conference. Dave, first year coach, got to be having some fun.
Yeah, it's been a great year for us, and I think the girls are really working hard. We're developing, and I think we're just kind of, the goal coming into the season was learning how to compete at a high level, and we're showing that we can do that on a night-to-night basis, and now it's just about being consistent and finding those ways to, obviously last night with an overtime loss, and there's a lot of things that we could have done to kind of stretch that lead out when we had it, and again, it's just all a learning process. We had 13-5 in the league. We were right there in the hunt for the kind of that top half, and that's what we talked about coming in, and now it's just about finishing strong and making a run here in the sections and really seeing how far this team can go, and yeah, it's all going to start with our defense. It's been the really thing we've hung our hat on, and we just got to be able to execute offensively, and I think we'll be just fine.
So you talk about Red Wing, Austin, and Owatonna all being those 3, 4, 5. You guys like 2, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there.
Yep.
So all three of you are in the mix, and you got to play all three of them.
Yep.
Yet.
That's the fun part. It's almost kind of like playoffs are starting early, and I think that's the mindset. Even John Marshall was they're a little bit below us in the standings, but that was kind of that playoff atmosphere. The intensity last night, it was physical, it was tough. There's bodies on the floor, there's a lot of contact, and at the end of the year, that's what we can ask for. We want to be in games that matter. We want to be in games where there's stakes on the line. We don't just want to get to a point in the end of the season where, okay, let's just finish this out and be ready for the spring. But we're in games right now that are going to determine playoff seeding. We're in games that are going to determine who's going to be second, third, fourth in the conference. And coming from a team where we were ninth last year, that's where we were looking to get into. And then learning these lessons and then coming into next year, it's okay, how do we be in contention for that first spot?
I don't have that. Who is the number one spot right now?
Rochester Mayo has two losses in conference, and we're at that 5 loss. So they've kind of solidified that spot up there. And they're super talented. I mean, be a 4A team, and they've got some of the two of the top 10 freshmen in the state. So they're a pretty impressive group, and they're well coached. So they've done what they needed to do, and now it's really on us to really finish this thing strong against teams that are all in our section too. Red Wing and Austin.
You only you played them in January, so you only played. It wasn't even. Not even, what, about 10 days ago?
Yep.
8, 10 days ago?
Yep. They gave it to us pretty good early. They beat us by a 20-plus, and that was a good learning experience. We had a start of the season against some pretty good teams, even New Prague and Holy Angels, our non-conference games early, and we talked about that last time I was in, just kind of what that did to prepare us, the physicality, the higher level of opponents. And then we played them again at our place, and we hung right there. We had a chance. They had us. It was 21-2 in transition, not in our favor in a close game where we had it at single digits there in the second half, and this those little things. And even last night, that was the message of the team. There's things that we control to help us be successful and to be a really good team. You've got to really hold on to those things that we control. And I think that this has been a good season of lessons, but also some season of success as well. And now it's just about finishing strong and really building this in to what our program is going to be moving forward.
So when you talk about 21-2 in transition, that usually means one of two things. Either they're dominating the boards or there's turnovers. Is that kind of the issue there?
Yeah, so turnovers is probably the story in that game. And I think and really throughout the season, we've got a young group. We're still learning that fluidity on offense, and turnovers has been a little bit of our Achilles heel. And it's our half-court defense is really impressive right now. And I think if we can keep teams in the half-court, we have a really good chance of being successful. But it's hard to guard 2-on-1 or 1-on-0 if they're just having a layup at the other end. We can't really defend that. So
do you guys do a lot of full court or no?
Yeah, so we pick up full court, and we have not played a single possession of zone defense all season. That's something that I've been really proud of our team. There's nobody else in our conference that does that. Everybody kind of will fall back into zone and kind of have some different things. But for us to have one defense that we're really trying to be as physical and tough as possible, I'm really proud of our players. They played up a lot of zone in the past, and there's nothing wrong with zone. But for my philosophies and what I feel like our team can can be successful with. We really just want to have that mentality that we're going to guard you, we're going to be tough, we're going to be physical, and really make things very uncomfortable for you on a man-to-man setting. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the philosophy that we've had with this group.
Are you using it as a psych technique? Maybe kind of later on, you'll throw a zone on her just to throw somebody out.
We'll see. Depends who's listening right now. But yeah, I would not anticipate us all of a sudden changing our story here. Teams can be prepared for it, and I think at this point in the year, we've got a lot of strong coaches. There's a lot of coaches that spend time on film and are going to scout us out, and all that stuff is great. But you still have to go out there and play, and that's our mentality, that you could know what's coming, and we have to be able to really adjust on the fly and still take it to teams, even if they have it scouted out or know what we're looking to do.
You're going, you know, one on one against everyone, so. Is that taking away that 3-point game a little bit, do you think? Or are they picking off of those real quick and still getting those shots clean from the three? Because everyone knows that that's the big thing, right? Let's get the threes bombing and firing, yep. You know. But as if you're doing a man-to-man defense, if you will, I would think that would take away some of that 3-point range.
Yeah, it can. I think for us, on a scouting perspective, we know who the team's shooters are, so we can change our coverages. We can be a little bit tighter on those shooters. I wish John Marshall took a few more threes last night. Our goal coming into the season is really to take away the paint and really be, even in our man-to-man defense, to really sag into the paint and really take that away. The Rochester John Marshall, their post had 32 points against us last night, basically all down inside. She had one three, I think. But so
big girl, what, 6 foot?
Yeah, she's about 6'1", 6'2". She's going to play Division II ball. She scored 1,000 point last night. She's a heck of a player. but I think, that taking away that 3-point line for players that can't shoot, we would love for players that are not as adept to shoot out there to take as many as they want.
Sure.
That's kind of how we approach that.
Yeah, bomb
and
away.
We just got to clean out the rebounds. But I think for us, it's more making teams uncomfortable. The Big Nine is very... very well coached. If you let teams just run their offense and do what they do in practice in a 5-on-0 or a drill setting, you're gonna struggle, right? So for us to take that away, to make the offense start way further away from the basket, to make those passes come a little bit faster, to make it a little more difficult on them, I think that's really what we hang our hat on.
As far as your team is concerned, you got any people that, you know, are consistent 3-point shooters, or do you try to? Good coaches take the talent that they have and they work with what they have, mm-hmm. and they instill a program that makes sense.
Yep.
So who are the Northvale Raiders?
Yeah, I think we're a balanced team, and I think that's what makes us special. It's on a night-to-night basis. We've had a lot of different leading scorers. We've had a lot of players that can score 8, 9, 10, 12 points in a nightly basis. We have a handful of players that can well often go get their 20 points if that's what we need from them. And we have a balance of shooting. We have a balance of attacking the basket off the dribble. And then we've got some post play that can do some things with mismatches and really around the basket. So Grace Molstad has been our leading scorer, her and Kate Sand. Kate's been our inside presence, has a really good mid-range jump shot, some post moves that we're continuing to work with her to be more proficient with. But, yeah, she's skilled around the basket. And then Grace, lights-out 3-point shooter, and we're trying to get her to attack the basket a little bit more. And then Callie Lynch, our freshman point guard, goes out there, and she had four threes in the first half last night. And she's a really good shooter, and really up and down the roster. We've got players that can all do a lot of different things, and that's really helped us too, that when teams are scouting us out, obviously, they see Kate's our leading scorer. Then you have Grace, both in kind of that double-digit range. And then we've got 6, 7, 8 other players that can really be dangerous in a lot of different ways. Maya Richardson on Tuesday night really hasn't scored a ton for her. She had 14 points in the first half, ended with 17 points against Mankato West. So that balance, that really ability as a coach to have different players that can do different things makes us dangerous, so it's not just one-dimensional out there.
So, you know, you look like Kelly comes out and just bang, 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 just fires away and gets that. Then does the defense then clamp down on her? Or what happens that all of a sudden it's like it went from hot to just...
Yep, and cool. I think that's kind of learning the game too. And I think Callie especially is a freshman, and she started for us basically. She did not start the first two games, and then we kind of made a change in our lineup, and she's been our starting point guard the entire season. And as a freshman, as at that 5'3", I mean, she's not the most physically imposing from a height standpoint out there, and that's kind of that learning process that she's feeling it early, and then they try and take those things away, and then it's kind of how do you get yourself back into the game? And she had a couple looks in the second half that she might have rushed a little bit. But again, it's just kind of that learning of the game, that learning of the flow. And as a point guard, you're going to get some looks early, and then it's how do you set your teammates up, and then how do you kind of get it back? And John Marshall, with their length and physicality, they did hats off to them and did a good job last night. But that's kind of that adjustment on the fly, but also the strength where you don't have to have one player that has to go out there and do it for you.
Right.
That we can work as a team, we can work together, and really have that success as a group.
Do teams, because of your ability to do those things, do teams then, do they generally try to play you a certain way? Do they like to lock down on zone, or do they like to go man-to-man, or do they just kind of feel you guys out because at any given point you guys can go inside or outside?
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of zone here recently. Teams that are have some athleticism on the perimeter can match up with us a little bit there. So the zone, and Red Wing is going to play a lot of zone against us. We saw a lot of zone last night, a combination of a couple different things, and I think that's across the league. If you don't match up 5-on-5 with a team, you have to be creative as a coach, where I feel like we match up with everybody. So we feel comfortable with our man-to-man. But if a coach feels that they either want to hide a player, or they can use their length, or just try and make teams uncomfortable in a different way as opposed to being up in their face in a one-on-one perspective, we see a lot of zone. And I think that's something, even as a young group too, that we're still learning how to play together. And we have a lot of lineups out there. So there's players that play together a lot. There's players that kind of mix in and mingle and don't have a ton of experience together. And especially against a zone, you got to be connected. You got to be on the same page. And we're definitely learning on the fly as we go. And then at the end of the day, it's just about are you going to be strong? Are you going to be tough? Are you going to attack the basket? Are you going to find those open areas? And it's not the same every time. That's part of a zone defense. They're trying to rotate and get into certain areas and zones. And if we can just be a little more physically imposing, that's where we're really going to see our ability to be unstoppable on offense really take fruition.
I was going to say, your whole philosophy on that is from a standpoint, is there certain things that you want to do as a team, if you will, or is it just you look at the teams you're playing, like Red Wing and Albert Lee and stuff, and you set it up accordingly that game? Or some people just say, hey, as long as we take care of what we got to do, then we don't even care what the other team's doing? Or do you eye them up and go, look, we need to play this a certain way?
Yeah, I think there's a delicate balance there, because you don't want to be – I mean, you'd like to be adaptable and moldable in ways. But for us, our concepts are going to stay the same. We still want to get the ball inside the paint on majority of our possessions, whether that's into the post, whether that's off the dribble, into the drive, whether it's off cuts or screens. We feel if we get the ball inside the three-point line and then be able to play it inside out, so we just don't want to dribble it up and shoot it right away. Okay. So having that balance is important. The pace of our game is a concept of ours. And then really just being able to be, like I said, physically asserting ourselves that we are in a position that we control whatever a team is doing. Defensively, from a scouting standpoint, there's some things there. Obviously, we're taking away strengths. But again, our philosophies have stayed the same. Pressure, disrupting teams, really working together. So like I said, I think at this point in the year, we're going to know. We know Red Wing. We know Austin. We know Otana. We know Albert Lee. We've seen them already. Richfield's the non-conference one that we're not familiar with. But as far as these teams that we're going up against a second time, our players do a good job of really learning and working through our scouting reports, and then we're able to obviously stay true to who we are, but just be a little bit more on top of what they're doing.
Well, the beauty, so you got Tuesday and Thursday next week, you're out of town. So that's, it's kind of unfortunate, but at the same time, you end the season three games in a row, Saturday, February 15th, so next Saturday. Then you got Tuesday and Friday, Owatonna in town. Mm-hmm. You got three games here at home. It's got to be exciting. You guys are all going to be vying for positioning in this section. This is going to be a fun four or five games.
Yep, and it's great. I think it's for the players to finish strong. You know, a year ago, you're just kind of coasting to the finish, like, okay, we're going to be a bottom seed in the section, and there's the motivation is tough there. But this is that excitement part of it, and this is unfamiliar territory for us, right? So we're not going to sneak up on anybody. I mean, they see the 13 wins. We've beaten really everybody except for Mayo and Owatonna and Red Wing to this point. We swept the Mankato schools. We swept these opponents that we're going into, and now it's just about being consistent. And that physical word, I've said that a few times already. I think that's where we are really going to see that success, that we're going to take things. We're not going to just kind of rely on or hope that it happens for us, that we have to be the more aggressive team. We have to be the more confident team, and we just have to go out there and handle our business. And if we do that, I've got full confidence that we're going to be successful and lead into the section play on a big high note, right? And if we can put ourselves in a position, I mean, third, fourth in the Big Nine, is that's a pretty special thing. This is
right.
A conference that has had really great players and really great teams, and we haven't been up there for a number of years, right? And if we can establish ourselves this season and finish strong, and then bringing everybody back with no seniors on our roster into next year, that's going to be a pretty exciting time for Northfield and our basketball community.
Let's plan the parade route.
No, that's not yet.
Next year. Let's plan it.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it too. We don't need to get ahead of ourselves, but it's just the confidence. And like I said, the whole theme for us is just learning how to be competitive, and we've made huge strides there. But once you learn how to be competitive, you got to learn how to be consistent, and then you got to learn how to be a winning program. And if we're in that top half of the league, every time you walk into somebody else's gym, you're not going to get a half effort. They're gonna bring it. They're gonna be ready. And it's
the thing I was going to say was, are you the type of coach that likes to run 7, 8, 9, 10 players, or does that just depend on the situation?
Yeah, I think situationally, I mean, we're a deep team, so we played 9 players last night, and I mean, we've got games where we'll go 10, 11 deep, and I think it just kind of depends. We've got kind of our core of 8 that play kind of in that similar kind of minute range. But I think it's night to night basis. There's times where we've had some freshmen and sophomores that step up and fill some big roles, and we've got some games where we gotta lean on our starters. We know this is something where we gotta really play some bigger minutes at certain roles. And I think that's a fun part as a coach, but it also makes it difficult when you look down there at the bench and you know, well, she could help us, and kind of finding those times to get those players in. Even last night, we had a sophomore, McKenna Quinnell, who's been really, really good for us all season long, splitting time JV varsity, and she didn't get into the varsity game last night. And it's like, having that kind of maybe we could have got her in, or where's that spot for her? And there's a numerous amount of players that are kind of in that range for us, and it's just kind of when they're ready to continue to step up and do those things. And that's the hard part about being a coach and making some of those decisions, because there is always that second guess, especially in an overtime loss, where what could we have done a little bit different to get over that hump? But that also is a credit to our players and how hard they're working and the training that they put into it, and really where they've come from the last year or two, just based on the playing time.
Did you catch Rochester, or did they catch you at the end of the regulation? Did they catch? Did they go to overtime?
Yep. So they caught us. We had a 5-6 point lead there at the end of the game, and we had a couple costly turnovers. We had a couple missed free throws. We had some things that we can control, and credit to them, they came out, and it was their senior night. They had their senior had scored 1,000th point. There was a lot of emotion. There's a lot of desire on their end, and we matched that for the most part. But they just made some big plays there. They're late, and then overtime wise, we had a chance at the end of regulation. We had a corner three opportunity, but we just had a heel on that out of bounds line, and the referees caught that one, where we had one of our better shooters with a wide open look to tie the game late, but was just stepping out of bounds.
Sure.
And then they made some plays to kind of seal it and put us in a position to have to chase it a little bit more.
That's why we play the game because it's fun.
Oh, for sure.
All right, Red Wing Tuesday, Thursday night, Albert Lea, then everyone's back at home against Richfield on that Saturday, and then we got Austin and Owatonna. Coach, thanks for joining me this morning on this snowy Saturday. And you know what? I think people are loving what's happening over there in that program, and they're digging the fact and the fact that you're in the, you know, you're pushing to the. I mean, they, like you said, that it's not completely unfamiliar ground, but you know, I mean, some of these young players, they've never been in this, you know, competing for that high of a spot in the conference. Do you got to tame them down at all?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's tame down. I think it's maintain intent and maintain focus and maintain understanding that what we did to get here. And I think this this off season and going into next year, I think even bringing back, I mean, that's 2018, 2019 is not that long ago. We have recent grads that have been in the state tournament, and just understanding the work ethic of what it takes to get there. And we've worked really hard. We've been really motivated. But this is not the time for complacency. This is not the time to just rest on, hey, we were 13-5. All is great. That's not where we're at all. This is motivating. This is, okay, there's more ahead of us, right? And it's we're not just wanting to be above 500 and, hey, let's plan a parade for over 500. That's not our expectation at all. That's not what our program is going to be really built toward, even for years ahead here. And I think for all of us, whether it's youth association, whether it's fans, whether it's kind of the people around the program, obviously players and staff, to continue to hold our standards high and to really work hard to get out there, because every off season there's another team that's going to pop up and be the team that really improves, and we can't just rest on some a few good weeks or a few good months. There's a lot more ahead of us, and I think our players are going to understand that as we kind of progress into our off season. That's going to be a real goal for us, to really dig into the weight room, to get in there, get bigger, stronger, faster, and really take this thing to another level. And I think our community is going to continue to support that as well. It's a fast-paced brand of basketball. It's defensive. It's physical. They play together. And I hope that our community still can continue to come out and support us. This next Saturday is going to be a really fun basketball game with a non-conference team up from the cities coming down. And if you guys are looking for something to do Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock, we'd love for you to come over to the gym and check out these girls if you haven't, because they are competitive. They're learning how to win. They're learning how to do some special things. They're learning to play with a little swagger, which is always fun and exciting there too. So, yeah, we'd love to have you come out and support us. And, yeah, this is going to be a fun future ahead for our basketball program if we continue to work hard as we are now.
Well, we're not done yet, so that's a good thing. So we still got plenty ahead in the season, and then of course playoffs and whatnot. Coach, again, thanks for coming in today.
Yep.
Congratulations. Good luck to you and the girls.
I appreciate it. Go Raiders.
Amen. All right, let's go. Rock and roll. Hoochie coo. All right, take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about meeting the Raider. We're going to meet a couple Raiders. We're going to meet some Nordic skiers as they and the Alpine team won the conference here just the other day, and the Nordic team is on their way as well. So that and more coming up here in just a little bit with Meet the Raider on the Raider Wrap on AM 1080 and 95.1 The One KYMN.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Wow, 12 years in business. All the hard work and struggles have led to growth and success. And now, after a dozen years under the belt, it's all smooth sailing from here, right?
Maybe, maybe not.
Looking back, it's the amazing bankers at Merchants Bank that have always been there to lean on. As relationships build, the banker has become a trusted advisor and part of the team. In today's world, things may not always be easy, but Merchants Bank has provided the resource and expertise we've all needed along the way. We've always worked together.
This is Paul Ryland with Johnson Ryland Builders Remodelers. Many of you in the listening audience live in the Cannon Falls area, or you have friends and family over there. I want to take a moment to share with you about Hardwood Estates, a new housing development just south of the high school. Single family and twin homes being built currently with some of the best land values around. Call us today or go visit the site and see an exciting new neighborhood that's got everyone talking. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your
dreams. Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center. Do you have HSA dollars that you're looking at wondering, hey, what can I use these on? Did you know you can use HSA, HRA, and other health savings accounts to pay for your LASIK procedure? In addition, if you have a Flex account, you can set aside money in your Flex account for next year to use towards LASIK.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault, world-class LASIK, small town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
South Soda, Benjamin Franklin, 1 hour, and Mr. Sparky, how can we come through for you today?
Yeah, my water heater's broken. It flooded out my basement. Can you fix it?
Absolutely, positively. If you're south of the cities, skip the gritties, hold the running, and call South Soda Plumbing. We'll get your hot water back online, lickety-split.
How quick is lickety-split, exactly?
How's today sound?
Holy buckets, that sounds great, but what if I want to go tankless?
That's a can-do on the upgrade. When we say absolutely positively, we mean it.
At South Soda Benjamin Franklin Plumbing, we can replace your water heater same day. Call in the morning and you'll have hot water by evening. We can even upgrade you to tankless and install a water filtration system if you want. You'll get endless hot water and twice the life out of your system. Plus, we've got easy payment plans even Susie Satchquatch can afford.
The absolutely positively people at southsoda.com.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on a Saturday morning, February the 8th. 8th day of February 2025. Good morning, 11 o'clock. Jimmy LaRue with you on a Saturday morning. Wow, you're looking outside going, whoa, where did this come from? Well, it's going to be over. Don't worry about it. It's going to blow over here. We're probably getting, I don't know, what do we got so far? I'm looking out at some of these cars out here. We may have get up to an inch or so. That's about it. Not anything too treacherous. We're not going to get that foot of snow that everyone was thinking that possibly was going to happen. So that's all good. It's also going to end around noon. So with that said, a lot of people want to take off and head for spring break because that's right around the corner. It's actually happening like right now. This is like between now and mid-March is usually when spring break occurs. But they're telling you, hey, if you want to go south for the winter, you might want to avoid a couple of places. Surprisingly enough, Jamaica, man. Yeah, man. Don't be going to Jamaica, man. And don't be going to Trinidad or Tobago either. Yeah, both of them. They got a stage three is what they're calling it. It's a stage three warning to stay out of Jamaica, Trinidad, and Tobago for your spring break. This primarily due to crime. There's a lot of terrorism, kidnapping. Yeah. And a lot of drug activity and gang activity, very common in those areas. So if you're going on a spring break, you might want to rethink exactly where you're going. But for the most part, this snow is going away, baby. At the about noon, it'll be gone. You'll see a lot of plow trucks out there, so pay attention to what's happening out there with that as well. So we might see a high today of 24. Snow is going to go away. Tomorrow is going to cool off a little bit. Tonight's going to get a little bit on the chilly side. It's going to go sub-zero tonight and then going to be, you know, in the double digits tomorrow a little bit, maybe around 20. And then for Sunday night, it's going to cool off right around zero. Monday, 20% chance of snow early. High of only 16. Monday night, slight chance of snow, not too much. A low of minus 10 on Monday night. Yeah, so but that's it. It's got to be, you know what? We're mid-February, man. The earth, she is a-churning and a-burning. And that means that, you know what? The old solstice will be rolling its way around here in the March. So hopefully some warmer temperatures on the way. We're at 20 with overcast skies and plenty of wonderful snowfall here in the Cannon Valley. Let's find out. We need snow. It's probably late than never, but we've got snow, and the Nordic team has something to say about it. So this week on Meet the Raider, Liz Campbell was able to track down some of the Nordic skiers. Liz.
Hello and good morning, Raider Nation, and welcome back to Meet the Raider, Northfield's youth-led sports radio show. I am your host this morning, Liz Campbell. Today in the studio, we have Nordic skiing captains Ani Gottfried, Harper Miller, and Liam Alabuni. Thank you guys so much for coming in today. So you guys just wrapped up your section meet this week. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So for all of your JV skiers, the season is over, but you do have a couple of state qualifiers. Can you guys just give us a highlight or two from the season?
Well, we have two skiers going to state, so we have one boy and one girl. And our girl that made it is in ninth grade, so...
It's very exciting that someone so young is already so skilled.
Yes, and that's actually most of our team. Our top four skiers on the girls' side are all ninth and eighth graders, which is really fantastic.
So. That is really exciting. Mm-hmm. So you guys have a young team looking to do some great things in the coming years. Yes. Thank you, Ani.
Yeah, we raced at a variety of courses this year, which was kind of fun. And we raced at the Lopet, like we do every year, which is in the Twin Cities. And then we also raced at Battle Creek. And then we also had the chance to go all the way up to Mora to race a conference, which was really cool. And that's like the course where the big Vasalopet races every year. So yeah, that was really fun to get like a variety of courses.
Yeah, so it's not just the same old every week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Normally we race at Highland every week, but we did have more diverse courses this year.
That's really exciting.
Yeah, and then our section race, we had two people qualify for state, Andy Amundsen and Micaiah Patrika. And then two more people, Max Beckman and Alia Doherty.
Yes.
They both missed out on qualifying for state by one spot. For Max and Alia, they're both this is just their second year on the team. So that was really awesome for them to get so close to going to state. And they both have many more years left on the team.
Yes, definitely. So you guys have a very strong young team.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And shifting to a little bit more of just a personal little school aspect, we're just a week or two into second semester. You guys are all seniors, correct?
Yes.
Correct. So yeah. You guys only have about a semester left of high school. How would you say the first half of your senior year went?
It was really fun, yeah. It's been fun applying for colleges and trying to figure out where we're going or post-secondary plans in general, and yeah.
That's awesome, Harper. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd say it's been really fun. It's been challenging to coordinate everything with like college planning, and I'm planning on taking a gap year next year too. So, but it has been really exciting to make fun memories with schoolmates, like teams and everything. Mm-hmm. My last year. So,
yeah. So like a last couple of memories and looking forward into the future. Excited. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, Ani.
Yeah, my senior year has been great. Definitely stressful at the beginning of the year trying to apply to colleges, but now I've been accepted and I don't have to worry about anything, and I'm just in a bunch of fun classes, so it's been really enjoyable.
That is really fun. Thank you, Liam. Do you guys just want to share your post-high school plans if you have any so far? Harper, would you like to start?
Yeah, I'm planning on going to Madison to major in either nursing or psychology. Yeah.
Okay, Ani?
I'm planning on taking a gap year in Norway at a Norwegian folk school, and I haven't decided what college I'm going to yet, but probably somewhere out on the East Coast.
Yeah, you have some time with a gap year to figure it out.
Yes.
That's awesome, Ani.
And I'll be going to the University of Minnesota, and I will probably be studying some sort of natural resource management.
Okay, awesome. So you guys all have some good settled plans. You can relax for the last part of your senior year knowing what you're doing after the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit of a throwback to the beginning of the season. Over this fall, how did the team start getting prepared for the upcoming winter skiing season?
Well, in the summer, we do captain's practices, which we start roller skiing, if you've ever seen us out on like roller skis with poles and everything. So we did that at the beginning of the season with no snow. We also did a variety of dry land training, so hill bounding, running, those types of things. And we hoped for snow later in the season, which never quite came, so that was the majority of our season, doing a lot of those same things. But.
Yeah, so just staying in shape without the snow maybe this year.
Yes.
But just trying to keep those muscles going.
Mm-hmm. And building our endurance and everything, too.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you, Ani.
And, like, adding on to Ani said, we also, like, encourage a lot of the skiers to come into this season. Usually, like, off of sport, a lot of the skiers come in from cross-country or swimming. But, like, some people come in from soccer, too. And I know, like, Liam and whatnot do mountain biking and stuff in the fall, which can also help, like, build up endurance before you start the season, which helps.
So not necessarily, like, Nordic-based training, but just generally being in shape helps out a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thank you, Harper.
Yeah, I think anybody that came into the season having done any sport over the summer was in much better shape. But there were a couple of our skiers who even skied, like roller skied over the summer with the Minneapolis Ski Club. I know Andy and I think Micaiah also did that some. And Alia and Thisbe, a couple other people on the team. But that definitely served them well because they went to state this year. So
definitely.
I think everybody put in a lot of work over the summer and it really helped them out.
Yeah, so a lot of different ways to prepare and get ready for the season.
Yes.
Awesome. And how did you guys as captains get ready for the season? Like, did you have any goal setting for what you wanted the team to look like and feel like this year, or any goals you wanted to achieve, like, as leaders?
Yeah, well, we did do a little bit of, like, captain discussing and, like, planning with, like, captains' practices and everything throughout the summer. I think more personal goals for myself were to just be like positive role model like past captains have been for me. So I really drew from that and did my best to like connect with every person on the team. And yeah.
Awesome, Ani.
Yeah, I agree. I had pretty strong, especially like female role models when I was a seventh grader on the team. So it was fun to like play that role this year and then last year as captain, especially with, yeah, some of the younger girls and getting to connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think one of the fun things about Nordic is that we have a lot of people on the team who don't race. And so going into the season, we're talking about how do we still have a solid group of people that are racing and are training really hard, but also have whoever wants to be skiing still skiing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were definitely trying to talk about ways that we can still let everybody do the sport, but not necessarily be all in, committed to racing. And
so different participation levels and making sure everyone is included.
Yes.
Definitely. So kind of hopping into talking about racing and practicing and things, can you just walk us through what a regular practice looks like for you guys? I know it's a little bit different when you have snow and don't have snow, but can you just walk us through what it looks like maybe when you do have some snow or when you're doing dry land?
Yeah, I'll start with dry land, usually what we do. So we start out each practice with either like core or we go inside for like band strength work. Then we usually transition to outside, either going on like a run, hill bounding, roller skiing, any type of endurance-based training like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we might end it with like a session in the weight room for those like dry land training days.
Yeah, when we have snow, which hasn't been like for the past 2 years, so for the last 2 years we've been going like occasionally like once a week up to Highland to practice on man-made snow, but when we have natural snow, we'll take a bus to the Arb, which is always fun, and yeah, we'll do intervals, we'll do technique work, we'll do free ski, we'll do games, we do a bunch of stuff there.
Awesome. So it's a little bit different depending on whether we have snow or not, which it's been more toward the not snow side these last couple of years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. You guys have mentioned Highland a couple of times. Can you just tell our listeners what that is?
Yeah, of course. Highland Ski Area is a place in Bloomington where the majority of our races are and where we usually go to practice. So it's like a really nice area with a good variety of hills, like flat spots to work on and train at. And that's where we go to have man-made snow.
Okay, so for those times when Mother Nature isn't necessarily pulling through for the skiing team, you can go up there and get some real skiing in versus just doing dry land all the time.
Yes, which really helps out our like races and everything.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Shifting to more of a meet and racing aspect, can you just tell us, like, first of all, the difference between Nordic skiing and alpine skiing? And then can you dive in a little bit to the two different kinds of Nordic skiing?
Yeah, we, when we're Nordic skiing, we go up the hills also. So it's a lot more work. But yeah, there's two main kinds of Nordic skiing. There's classic and freestyle, which is mostly skate skiing. So classic skiing, there are two tracks set in the snow. You have longer skis and shorter poles, and then you have a sticky wax in the bottom of your skis, and you keep your skis parallel to each other the whole time, and you kick up the hills. It's more like running.
So you're kind of just like running with skis attached to your feet, it kind of looks like.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the more, when people think of cross-country skiing, stereotypically, that's what they think of as classic.
And then there's also skate skiing, is that right?
Yeah, there's skate skiing, which is like also kind of freestyle skiing, but it's more similar to like an ice skating or like roller skating motion, but with a lot longer skis on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it has longer poles than classic, and it's usually at like a higher tempo, higher speed. It can be, yes, but usually people come into Nordic like knowing how to classic ski. That's typically what people learn when they're younger and then learn skate later in life.
So. Yes. Okay. And so it's not like downhill skiing where you just kind of get on some skis and you go down the hill. No. You're doing a lot of different motions and like skating outward and kind of like bounding and things like that.
Yeah. There's different techniques that you use, whether you're going up a hill or like on the flats. So we learn all different types of that.
Okay. Awesome. And if you are just tuning in to the Raider Wrap, we are meeting with Nordic skiing captains Ani Gottfried, Harper Miller, and Liam Albuni. So could you guys just walk us through what a typical meet day looks like for you guys as a team?
Yeah, we will get on the bus and drive up to a lot of our races are at Highland and Bloomington. And we'll get there and we will typically test wax if we're doing classic skiing. And then, yeah, we'll get warmed up. A big part of like going into races is making sure your body is warm so you're not getting cold at the starting line. And then, yeah.
So after that, we like get lined up on the start line. Different than cross-country racing, not everyone starts at the same time. So typically, it's like two skiers every 15 seconds, and we line up and have people go every 15 seconds. So you never really know where you're placed during a race. You know later what your place is. So that can be kind of hard sometimes, not knowing where you're at.
And is there anything you guys are focusing on specifically this year? Is there anything you guys are really trying to emphasize this year as part of either your practice plan or your racing strategy?
We continuously work on like ski technique and everything. Because a big part of Nordic is the endurance, like the physical aspect. But another part is the technique behind the skiing. So we work on that constantly. And also like the speed aspect of like, it's emphasized like pushing over the tops of hills and like in the transition zones around corners where some people can tend to slow down. Like we really try to push through those sections to gain time on people.
Definitely.
So. We also, like, Nordic is a team sport, and we do so many, like, fun team things, and we compete as a team, but it also is similar to cross-country or swimming, where you have, like, an individual time. So, yeah, a lot of the things we do during practice is our coaches will split us up and work with, like, different... We have a wide range of talents and, like, skills and, like, abilities on the team. So, yeah, we have people coming in to the team that have never skied before, and we have people that have been skiing their whole lives. So our coaches do, like, a fantastic job being able to work with techniques for each skill group. So that way, every person has a different goal for race days. And whether that be, breaking a PR or just finishing the race.
Yeah. So just meeting people where they are.
Right.
That's awesome.
And the other thing we've been working on this year is trying to have a more solid warm-up plan.
Oh, yes.
Which is really difficult when it's 0 degrees and you have to be at the start line in a thin race suit. So we've been really working on having everybody get out skiing, often almost an hour before their race, just really easily, and then being really warm when they do get to the start line.
Looking back on the last couple of meets, and specifically this last section meet, can you just give us an idea of how Northfield is ranking within the overall section conference just at different meets this year?
Well, we had a really good performance at this section meet the past week. The girls ranked third, which was just one spot away from state, going to state as a team. So hopefully next year we're going to get there. We have a really strong young team. And the boys also ranked fourth, which was significantly higher than we've placed in past years for both of boys and girls team.
That's awesome. So some improvement.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, our section and conference is very different. We're not part of the Big Nine, but we do race a lot against a lot of really big schools. We are the only team that is not combined with a different school. So it is really impressive that Northfield is ranked so high.
Yeah, so you have a very big team considering how small of a school Northfield is compared to the other teams you race against.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you guys just explain to us how Nordic scoring goes? Like, we've talked a little bit about racing generally, but then at the end of the day, when everyone has raced, how does that scoring work?
Yeah, so at our section race, each team gets to race seven people. Five people will be in a 5K pursuit, so you'll ski two different 5Ks throughout the day. One classic, one skate, and then two of the people are on a sprint team. So they do a sprint relay. The scoring is the top three racers in the pursuit are assigned a point value starting at 100 going down by twos, I think, based on where they finish in the pursuit race. And then the sprinters, based on where they finish, they get a score of up to, I think, 200. So kind of confusing to qualify as a team. There's a lot going on. But then individually, you'll have four other people qualified to go to state if their team didn't go. And that's how our people qualified.
And how does individual qualifying work?
it's like the top two teams that qualify for state, like their whole team goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the next four fastest times that aren't like affiliated with a team that goes to state. And those are the individual qualifiers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And just to wrap us up here a little bit, how do you guys, along with your teammates, try to make practices fun? Like, are there any little games you play? Maybe like a little fun thing you do on Fridays to look forward to the end of the week? Anything like that?
We do a lot of team bondings, not at practice, but just throughout the season. Mm-hmm. We have a tradition of always decorating the ski shed right before Christmas. So we have Christmas lights and ornaments, and then we usually get like some food and snacks and whatnot. And then, yeah, we went ice skating this year too.
Earlier this season, we had a lot of game days on Fridays, so mm-hmm. we played, like, Capture the Flag. There's this one game that we do on snow that we couldn't do this year, but we do mm-hmm. a variety of different game days. This year, we also have had a lot of parents do snack donations, which has been great because people really look forward to snacks in Nordic either before the workout or afterwards, and that's just been a fun thing, too.
Yes, that's so fun.
Since we've had so much dry land training this year, we're trying to make the practices fun. So we've done like obstacle courses on our roller skis, or we had an orienteering practice. So we're all running around looking for waypoints on a map.
Mm-hmm. So just trying to make dry land a little bit more exciting since you can't be on snow as much.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in today.
Yeah. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
And thank you, KYMN fans, for listening. If you missed part of this interview live or want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. I'm Liz Campbell, and I am your host on this week's Meet the Raider on this week's Raider Wrap. Tune in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1, The One.
Caitlin here from Just Food Co-op, your community-owned grocery store in Northfield. Here at Just Food Co-op, we sell the best produce, local meats, eggs, and dairy products. In addition to healthy food, we also have the highest quality fish oils, vitamins, supplements, and natural body care for you and your family. You are welcome at Just Food Co-op, open every day, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., Water Street in downtown Northfield. Everyone can shop, anyone can join.
The economic pulse of Northfield is beating, and your business is part of it. Make sure you stay connected to that pulse with the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. They can help you form relationships and partnerships that can take your business to the next level. Networking events are great opportunities to get your business in front of new people and to make strong connections with other Northfield area business owners. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce knows how important your business is to our community. Stay connected to the economic pulse of Northfield. Go to northfieldchamber.com, join, and take your business to the next level.
Are you ready to move on from winter to enjoy the spring? Ready to reckon with the rain? Did you know you could get reimbursed for installing a rain garden on your property? You can learn how by attending the Rain Garden Workshop on March 6th from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock at Northfield High School. This free event requires registration and is a collaboration between Clean River Partners, the City of Northfield, and the Dakota County Soil and Water Conservation District. They'll teach you what to plant, where to plant it, and why rain gardens benefit the watershed. Register for this illuminating workshop at northfieldschools.org/community education. That's northfieldschools.org/community education.
Hi, this is Paul Metza. Make sure you listen to The Weekly List every Thursday night at 7 p.m. with my friends Rich Larson and Danny Moyer on KYMN 95.1 FM, 1080 AM, The One.
Well, I'll stick a fork in as we're done for another week, boys and girls. Hey, it looks like a torrential downpour. We are into blizzard territory. Ain't wrong, crouton. Hey, we do know that the snow will taper off here this afternoon, probably here in the next hour or so. It should just kind of taper away. Temperature's right around 24. Maybe 1 to 2 inches this afternoon, and that should be about it. The winds are not going to get crazy like they normally do, so we got that going for us, which is very nice as well. But for the most part, a couple inches today. Nice day, 24. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be fantastical. Hey, don't forget, I should probably remind you that the girls' sections are tonight. The girls' hockey team is playing Lakeville South at 7 o'clock at the Hossie Arena in Lakeville. We'll be broadcasting live right here on KYMN, both on AM 1080 and FM 95.1 The One. And we're streaming on KYMNradio.net. So you can listen to the hockey game anywhere in the world. All you got to do is get yourself a little internet, and you'll be ready to rock and roll and root on your Northfield Raiders. They're taking on Lakeville South and the Cougars. This is always a fun contest every single year. The last couple of years, it's been hit or miss with Owatonna in the mix and whatnot, but it's back. That's right. So Lakeville South, tonight, 7 o'clock, 6:30. We're going to probably kick things off live here on the radio station around 6:30. I believe Rich Larson will be in the studio that night. It'll be myself and Brent Bielenberg will be on the call tonight, starting at 6:30. I hope you can tune in. If you can't make it up there, at least tune in right here to KYMN for all the latest in sports with the Northfield Raiders.
Corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. My master's gone away.
Well, it's time to say goodbye, I think. So enjoy your afternoon, enjoy the day, enjoy the snow. It's been fun. March 21st is right around the corner, and we'll see you next week right here on the Raider Wrap.
South Soda Benjamin Franklin, 1 Hour Heating, and Mr. Sparky.